of your amazing and wonderful grace. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. During this season of Advent, I will be taking a break from the book of Hebrews and focus on some of the gifts that God gives to us. And the gifts I will be focusing on during Advent are the gifts that we often associate with this season. This morning, I want to focus on God's gift of peace to us. At the outset, I want to qualify that I will be preaching from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. And if you look for the word peace in this passage, you will not find it. The reason I'm speaking about God's peace from this passage is that without using the word peace, God's gift of peace is demonstrated and evident in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. So my first point is that God's gift of peace is an internal peace, not a peace based on external circumstances. Luke 1, 6 and 7 say this about Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Let me clarify that Zechariah and Elizabeth were not righteous in and of themselves, but were righteous before God based on the grace of God. If we accept the premise, and it is right that we do so, that both the Old Testament believer and the New Testament believer were saved only by the grace of God, then we have to recognize that the words in verse 6, that they were both righteous, means they trusted in the grace of God. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Like every other Old Testament believer, they trusted in God's provision for their salvation from sin and the death of which pointed forward to the death of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Old Testament sacrifices foreshadowed the Messiah suffering for the sins of God's people. The Old Testament believer, therefore, look forward to the Messiah as we look back to the Messiah. When Luke 1:6 says that Zechariah and Elizabeth were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, it does not mean that they were sinless, but rather they were godly and upright people. The characteristic of their lives is that they consistently obeyed the Lord. Their faithful obedience was a result of their faith and trust in the Lord. But then 1:7, Luke 1:7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. This is a perceived contrast between their statement of their faithfulness to the Lord and the statement of their childlessness. In the minds of Zechariah and Elizabeth, it made their childless state hard to understand. For the people taking their cue from the blessings and curses of the covenant in Deuteronomy 28 and 29 is that the people of Israel assumed if they faithfully served the Lord, God would bless them with children. The mention of their age is making it clear that from a human perspective, they could not expect a change in their situation. This shows that God's gift of peace means that we trust in the Lord in the midst of difficulties, disappointments, challenges, and frustrations. And even as we think about this season of Advent, we think about tunes that we know. "Tis the season to be jolly." What kind of joy did they have as they thought about the fact that they were not able to have children? And even during this Advent, we have to remember the commands "rejoice" look a lot different as you face circumstances that won't budge during this season. We might say we rejoice in the Lord, and yet to look at our face, we might be emotionally kind of flatlined. That is that contrast of serving the Lord and yet living with disappointment. Going through trials is not easy, and it is especially not easy as we continue to trust in the Lord in the midst of these difficulties. Perhaps at this point in their lives, Zechariah and Elizabeth had given up on the idea of being parents. It would only be natural. They were well advanced in years. And even if they had moved on, the question still nagged at them, perhaps, why hasn't the Lord given us a child? It is a question all of us face in one form or another. And that is when you are disappointed because you have to endure circumstances that you cannot change. How do you handle God's silence? We have peace with God through the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. That means we have peace because we are forgiven of our sins and declared righteous before God. That is the primary blessing of God's peace. But there's another side of peace, kind of the existential side of peace. Are we at peace with God's providence in ordering of our lives? And so we have to come to terms with that, and it's a struggle. It's not a once and done thing. It's an ongoing responsibility, duty, and yet challenge. Some details as to the very circumstances that our passage speaks about, a godly couple who desired but did not have any children, at least at this time, being at peace with that is a disheartening detail and very difficult. And it is an aspect of our sanctification that we struggle to be at peace with what God's plan is for us. This is a challenge to our faith, and yet the Lord calls us to be at peace with His sovereign control over the details of our lives. Trusting in God's gift of peace is a call to believe that He has a plan for our lives, even with the difficulties, questionings, and uncertainties about what this means in our context. Yet not knowing also means we must persist in our faith in the Lord's power and mercy. Second point is that God's gift of peace is seen in Zechariah and Elizabeth's life as they now are given the promises of God of a child. Luke 1:11-14 says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to him," meaning to Zechariah, "standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.'" As is usual, when an angel appears to one of God's people, they are absolutely frozen with fear and shocked. And the first thing that the angel says to Zacharias is, "Fear not." In other words, calm down. Don't be beside yourself. Don't be captured by trepidation. God has heard your prayer, and you and Elizabeth will bear a son. You'll call him John. Actually, Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. The name John means the Lord is gracious. After those years of wondering what was going on, what hadn't happened, God is now answering their prayers for a child. God has graciously answered their prayers. But this son, John, will be mightily used by the Lord in preparing the hearts of God's people for the Messiah. So it's not just that they're going to have a son. They're going to have a son who's going to be mighty in the salvation history of God's people. In the case of Elizabeth, she knows through her husband's encounter with the angel the mission of her son John would undertake later in life. Luke 1:16-17 speaks of this mission. "And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1:17 speaks of John as a forerunner. A forerunner is of less importance than the person or persons for whose coming he is paving the way. This was true of the runners who preceded the chariots of a king, bringing news that the king's coming. John the Baptist, as a forerunner, announced that the Messiah was coming and would soon appear. And then he personally identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he told his own disciples to follow him. John acts as a faithful forerunner as he tells the people to prepare for the Messiah by repenting of their sins and baptizing people in the wilderness. And then he fleshes out what repentance looks like in the lives of several inquirers, including tax collectors and soldiers in the Roman army. John the Baptist also had stinging rebukes for the religious leaders who trusted in their own righteousness, and John told them that God could make children of Israel out of these stones if he wanted to, and that they also must bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. One last illustration of John the Baptist's faithfulness as a forerunner is that he rebuked King Herod for taking his brother's Philip's wife. And his rebuke issued forth in John's imprisonment and ultimately in his death, because he was faithful to God's message of repentance. John the Baptist was faithful to the Lord, even as he saw his parents' faithfulness, their costly faithfulness. And so John was imitating his parents' faith. Third point I want to make is that Zacharias has a detour in receiving God's gift of peace. Luke's gospel records these words of Zacharias' response to the good news about the coming of his son John. Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." The angel Gabriel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Zacharias did not believe the word of God at this moment. At this point in time, Zechariah did wrong before the Lord in questioning God's promise. And Zechariah is reminded that the angel Gabriel has come from the holy presence of God to send this good news to him. And yet Zacharias was skeptical. His unbelief was temporary, not permanent. His temporary unbelief reminds us of God's patience and long-suffering with each of us. In Zechariah's case, he is given 9 months of silence. Can you imagine that? Just coming out of the temple where he was the altar of incense and somehow being able to motion with their hands. The people got the message, but he had that for 9 months. Some of us who are gregarious and talkative, what a disappointment that would be. Quiet for 9 months. All that time, you'd have to write something down. And whenever I visit someone in the hospital who has a tube down their throat, has to do the same thing. They can't talk. And so he endures this time of silence. Notice what I just read last week. Abraham and Sarah questioned the coming of a son. They weren't silenced for 9 months. That's another important thing to consider. The way God disciplines Cedric may not be the same way that God disciplines you. It's an individual thing. Whatever the Lord does is good. But the last thing we have to do is compare notes with somebody else. God has an individual plan for your life. He has an individual plan for a nation's life, for a church's life. And we can't compare. Zacharias got this 9 months off of speaking. And I would suggest it was a time for reflection and repentance. Because at the end of it, when they ask him, what do you want to name your son? He follows forth with obedience and says, writes, his name will be John. And that point on, when he's able to speak, Luke records a song of praise in the Gospel of Luke. And so from that point on, probably a long time before that, he had genuinely repented. But he took a detour because he didn't believe at that moment. May we trust in God's gift of peace, not only through salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, but also receiving God's gift of peace through each chapter of your life, knowing that all things work together for good. Some of it's going to be a mystery. Some of it we're going to struggle with. May we continue to receive God's providential will for our lives and be at peace with it, because in all things, God works together for our good. At times, we need to seek God's help. Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lives of Zacharias and Elizabeth, for their example of faithfulness and obedience to you. Help us to walk in their footsteps, to faithfully love and serve you, to trust in the promises of the gospel and your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and our Savior. These things we beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.